Good evening.
The time is 7 p.m. on Wednesday, July 15th.
Calling the Tri-City Tipsnet. Calling the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tipsnet for Wednesday, July 15th in the year 2020. Good evening and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tipsnet. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim and I'm located in the city of Groton in Connecticut. I will be your net control station for this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary for participation. All licensed radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are certainly welcome to listen. This net operates on the 147.060 MHz repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. If needed, the secondary is 146.67, also with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. The net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time with various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of the net is twofold. First, to provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio. Secondly, also to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset the repeater. TipsNet is a directed open net, and that means we call for a round of check-ins. And when we have everyone checked in, we'll go down through the list for comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have any questions for the net. You will answer your questions after everyone has checked in. The TipsNet has three sections. The first, as we were describing, is the open net with rounds of questions and comments. And the second section is a section for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. And third, there's an opportunity for those who wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items. While it's otherwise directed, all communications should be directed to the net control station. When checking into the net, please say, "This is," and then release the mic button like this. And listen to make sure that no one else called in at the same time you have. And if no one has, then slowly give your call sign phonetically, along with your name and location. And if you have any comment or question, this is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim, and I'm in Groton, and I'm your net control station for this evening. We'll start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign slowly.
Kilowatt Foxtrot 5, November, radio, uniform. My name is Matt, Mark Alpha, Tango Tango.
Kilo 1, Juliet Mike, November.
Whiskey 1, Foxtrot, Juliet, Whiskey, Chuck in Groton. No questions. Good evening.
Here is Kilo Alpha 6, Papa Delta Golf, Kevin in Norwich. Nothing at the moment.
Okay, very good. The first station there, KF5, I goofed up the last half of the suffix to your call sign, Matt. Would you mind giving me your call sign again phonetically? You did it right the first time. It was my error when I was writing it down.
Yes, that is Kilowatt, Foxtrot 5, November, radio, uniform, KF5, NRU. Name on the SIN is Matt, Mark Alpha, Tango Tango. We're here in Groton, Connecticut, and I do have a question for the net whenever we get to that.
Okay, very good. Yes, I transposed two of the numbers, two of the letters rather, around, and you do have a question for the net, and we'll get to that shortly. And we also recognize Jerry, K1JMN, Chuck, W1FJW, and Kevin, KA6BDG. Any further check-ins, please call now.
Here is QO0, Juliet Echo Bravo, Josh and Groton, good evening.
Okay, net further recognizes Josh, K0JEB. Any further check-ins, please call now.
KB1RBI, Keith from New London.
Okay, and that further recognizes Keith, KB1RBI. Any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, very good. We'll start at the top of the list with Matt, who does have a question. And I usually take those with questions and move into the top of the list. But Matt, you're already there. Haven't spoke with you in a while, and I haven't dialed into the Echo Link into Texas in a while, but just seeing your call sign reminds me I need to do that again. So, Matt, KF5NRU, what's your question?
So, because I like buying weird things, right? So, name is KF, or call sign is KF5NRU, name is Matt, for anybody who might have missed it. So I like buying weird things occasionally for the radio, and there's this ABREE antenna, A-B-B-R-E-E, ABREE antenna. It's 2 meter, 70 centimeter, dual band antenna, and it goes on a handheld. It's 28, like I said, 0.3 inches, and it looks like, and the reason I bought it is because it looks like one of those old military antennas you would see from Vietnam that fold over and they hook into a big backpack or a backpack radio and all of that. It's quite a massive thing, to be honest, and it looks kind of goofy on the radio. But I guess my question is, it claims it works folded in half whenever you fold it down back to carry size, kind of like you would see in like old war movies and things like that, whenever they're not trying to contact headquarters, they have it folded back down to just above the backpack. How does that work? Because that's definitely not a half wave of anything, and I don't know, does it make the loop? I just feel like it'd interfere with itself. KF5NRU, back to net.
Okay, Matt, just for clarification, when you fold it over, does it, you know, fold over completely as if it's now the whole body of the antenna is pressing against itself, or just so that the tip is touching, therefore making a very, very skinny loop? Or, you know, just give us a little description there, if you would.
So it folds over in half, and it has a little slot of Velcro where it connects to itself. And no, it's not completely touching. It looks exactly as if you, and it may be what it's made out of. It's a kind of a cheap thing. It's not a big deal, but it kind of looks like if you were to fold a tape measure in half. It's kind of got a loop at the top, and it folds exactly in half back to the base of the antenna.
Okay, very good. Well, that's a good question, and I don't have an answer for that, but maybe somebody out here does, or maybe somebody has an educated guess. So let's go down through the ranks and see what we've got. First, we'll go to the next person I checked in. Jerry, K1JMN, do you have any thoughts on that or anything else you want to bring to the meeting this night? This is KC1TWR and the tips, man.
K1JMN. Yeah, I have a thought on that. I have worked with those radios, and I think that because it's folded over, the range is diminished quite a bit, and you don't have that distance when it's fully extended, and that seems like, you know, logical sense. But I've talked on it for a short distance, and I've never gotten out of it any long range when it's folded over. That's all I have for you. K1JMN.
Okay, very good, Jerry. That's the thought I hadn't thought of. It kind of reminds me of a loop antenna or a version of that. And we know that you can take a dipole and make it an inverted V, or you can do things with the ends. If you can't go straight for the full distance dipole, you kind of bend it, and it still sort of works, maybe not to peak efficiency. But let's move on to Chuck, W1FW, correction. Yeah, W1FJW, and see what his thoughts are.
Well, I'm thinking, like Jerry, that because it doesn't have a tight kink at the top, that it's a bit of a loop, and I don't know the dimensions of the antenna, but I'm guessing it's, when it's out straight, it's a 5/8 wave, and when it's doubled over, it would be 2 1/2/8 of a wavelength, or a little over a quarter wave. So I'm thinking you lose 3 dB when you fold it over, and you perhaps get a little bit of directionality because of the loop-like shape of the antenna. But that's just a guess. Back to net, W1FJW.
Okay, I believe he did mention that it was 28.3 inches long, but he'll correct me if I misstated that when we get to the top of the list again. Before we go on, just a quick call out, because it's been about 10 minutes. If anybody else would like to join the tips net, please come with your call sign now.
Here is Whiskey 1, Romeo Papa Queen, Bob in Oakdale. Good evening.
Okay, Nate recognizes Bob, W1RPQ. Good, we've added you to the bottom list, which we have not reached yet. Any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, we'll next move on to Kevin and see what he has for thoughts on that or anything else he wants to bring to the net this evening. KA6PDG, this is KC1TWR.
Thanks, Tim. And thanks for picking up the net for the net control that didn't. good evening, Matt. Yeah, I can't figure out, I think the question by Matt is electrically what's happening, and I don't have an answer. I think Chuck sort of skirted on it when he said it's sort of, kind of, but not like a quarter wave. I was just thinking if the antenna thinks it's a quarter wave, then it's going to have a higher angle of radiation. But yeah, I'm not really sure what's happening there electrically. Of course, if they just make the statement it works, you know, that could mean anything. If they're claiming, oh, it works just as well, well, that would be a different animal. But when they say it works, that could mean, yeah, it's great as a paperweight. Or for hitting your drill sergeant over the head with or something. KA6PDG back to net. I would never advocate such a thing, you understand?
Okay, thanks, Kevin. Yeah, which brings up another thought, which is that normally when you put up a, you have an antenna on an HT, it's vertically polarized. And when you loop it, you've now changed that vertical polarization where it's now almost like a loop antenna, so now it's got, depending on how you're holding it, you know, some people hold the HTs kind of down near their stomach and look down at it. Well, that would actually give you better range, I think, doing it that way, because of the fact it's now more like a loop, whereas if it was just a straight-up antenna, you might not be able to reach or transmit and receive from a station that's directly in front of you quite as well. But that's just a thought or two. We're going to move on to Josh and get his thoughts. K0JEB, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR is K0JEB. Good evening, Tim and everybody on the net. Well, a couple of things that could be happening. I'll tell you, my opinion is that they may say it works, but if you were to do some tests, you would probably find that technically the antenna is not really doing much. And I'll tell you what I've done. So I've checked the antennas that they sell with the cheap Baofeng radios using the antenna analyzer. I've taken the antenna off the radio and put it in a jig with a connector and a couple of small ground radials underneath it to simulate still being connected to the radio. And I've put an antenna analyzer on there, and I found that the stock plastic antennas you get on your radio, the SWRs are way out of whack. They have a little tuned coil inside them, inductor coil that doesn't really do much, but the majority of the stuff that's going on with the radio, in my opinion, is when the SWRs are higher, the transmitter is actually lowering the power when you transmit. I don't know what you said the measurement was for when it's folded, but I'm not sure if it's close to an eighth wave. For 2 meters, eighth wave would be about nine inches and some change. So it's possible that when you're folding it over, the folded side is just becoming not even a parasitic element, but it's just becoming part of the rest of the antenna. So to speak, and I wouldn't categorize it much of as a loop antenna. I would categorize it more as a short long wire with a jumble in the middle. But that's my take on that one. I've seen some funny things with HT antennas before. So it's K0JB back to net.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Josh. And that's interesting. You always do like to tinker with things. I really appreciate that about you and the hobby. Okay, let's move on to Keith, KB1RBI, and get your thoughts on this folding HT antenna for 2 meters. It's about 28.3 inches long. And electronically, what happens to it when it gets folded? KB1RBI, KC1TWR on the tips net.
KB1RBI. The only thing I can think of is check the documentation that came with the antenna. If there's not any documentation that came with the antenna, you could always search online with the phrase antenna performance while folded, and then the name of the antenna, and there's forums and all kinds of stuff out there that might give you some technical details on how the antenna's performing while it's folded. KB1RBI, back to net.
Okay, thank you, Keith. And, yep, documentation is always a good thing. Let's go on to the last person on the list currently, Bob, W1RPQ, and get his thoughts on this. This is KC1TWR, and this is the TIPSnet.
Good evening, this is W1RPQ. Well, I think Jerry was right, and you're going to reduce your distance, and most everybody's been right. It is not a loop antenna, but you're changing the wavelength, so you're going to reduce your distance. And with most of these El Cheapo antennas, as Josh pointed out, if you buy any of these smaller HTs, throw the antenna away and buy something decent, because they do not perform. And I would suggest, if you have one or can get one, just get a hold of an antenna analyzer and see what it does to you. But more importantly, if you're out there and you're hitting a repeater and you fold it in half, see what your signal sounds like, and you'll go from there. Again, it's a toy. A lot of these things that fold in half or fold many times. There's some other HT antennas out there that are like, I don't know, 3 or 4 feet long that all fold up, and obviously when they're folded, they're not very effective. So, yeah, that sounds like we have a lot of decent answers that are all in the ballpark for this one. This is W1RPQ. Back to net.
Okay, thank you, Bob. Very good. We've reached the bottom of the list. Let me do another quick call out. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TIPSnet, open to all amateur radio operators. If you would like to join in on the discussion or bring your question to the table, please come with your call sign now. KC1MBY, and I got the KC1N, but I wasn't able to get the rest of it. Would you mind calling back again? Okay, net recognized Jeremy, KC1NBY. There was another KC1 station that called. Would you please try again?
PDG with a comment.
Go ahead, Kevin.
I think you're confused. There was another station that tried, but the KC1 call you were hearing was Jeremy's. I should say KA6PDG to be legal.
Why, whatever the other station was, please come with your call sign now.
Here is Kilo Charlie 1 Mike Victor X-ray, Kevin and Groton.
Okay, very good. Sorry about that, Kevin, KC1MVX. Were you indeed the station that had tried to call in like about 20 or 30 seconds ago?
Yes, I made a rookie mistake and I had turned off my tone squelch for CQ earlier and forgot to turn it back on, so I wasn't actually hitting the repeater. So if you heard me, you probably heard me on Synflex. Sorry about that, KC1MVX, back to net control.
Okay, and that worked for you because Jeremy, KC1MBY, was calling at the same time, so you tripped the repeater, and that's why you got through. Very good. Okay, so in order, we have KC1MVX, Kevin, and KC1MBY, Jeremy. Any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, we've had you the bottom list, which is where we're at, so we're going to go to you two first, give you instant service before we go up back to the top. We have a question from Matt, KF1NRU. His question is, he bought one of those newfangled HD antennas that folds in half. When it's not folded in half, I believe it's about 28.3 inches long. And his question was, what happens to it electronically or electrically when you bend it in half? You know, what really is going on there? So first we're going to try Kevin, KC1MVX, see if you have any thoughts on that or if you have any other questions for the net. Please come now.
Okay, thank you, and sorry again for not having the CTCSS tone put in. I feel like a fool. Thank you, Jeremy, for helping me there accidentally. And, yep, KF1NRU. So, I'm going to go ahead and give a guess, and hopefully maybe this will jive with what other people are saying, or maybe you can correct me. But I'm going to say that having it will double or I'll say this, I'll say it should probably increase your signal dB gain, but it will lower your RF field or radiation scope. So instead of hitting up in the upper towards the ionosphere, which for VHF I realize isn't really a big deal because you're trying to go line of sight, but you're going to angle your radiation field lower, and that will mean that more obstacles, physical obstacles, will be in your way, but you'll have a higher dB output. I think that's what doing that does. I think that's basically how a duplexer works. Could be completely wrong, so please correct me. KC1VX, back to that.
Okay, we'll go with that for now, just to make sure that I repeated Matt's question properly. It's an HT handheld transmitter. He bought one of those flexible type antennas that is about 28.3 inches long, and it folds down and slips into a Velcro type sleeve, like you put in your backpacks, because other than that, it's kind of ungainly and very long. So he was curious what would happen to it electronically because of that. You had mentioned something about a duplexer, so that's why I wanted to mention that part. And what Kevin and what Matt did not say was whether this antenna was also designed for 70 centimeters or not, for 440. We'll find that out later. First, we're going to go to Jeremy, KC1NBY, and get his thoughts. Over to you.
KC1NBY. So I don't have a lot of technical answers on this one. However, it seems like, kind of agree with Matt's previous thing there. It kind of seems to me like it would interfere with itself because it's trying to transmit over the antenna that's then bound back over itself. But I did do some research when I was looking for an HT antenna, and I ran across that one and I was interested. So there is a bunch of YouTube videos out there of them actually testing it, a lot of stuff on it. And from watching all the YouTube videos and everything, it seems like a lot of people had good reviews. And you can get that thing all the way up to, I believe it's about 42 and a half inches long. They got different sections all the way up. But as far as what actually happens to it when it folds over, I'm not sure, but I would be interested to find out. KC1MBY back in that.
Okay, very good, Jeremy. Thank you very much. And we're going to circle down to the back to the top list and find out if any of this has been helpful to Matt at all, or if he has further clarifications or further questions for us. KF5NRU is KC1TWR in the TIPSnet.
Kilo, Fox 5, November Radio United, KF5NRU in net. Yeah, so bringing it up and just thinking about it again, I think I'm not sure how it works on 2 meters, right? It's a 2 meter, 70 centimeter antenna, right? I'm not sure how it works whenever it's on 2 meters, but if you feel about a third of the way up this antenna, and I've got it here in my hand, if you feel about a third of the way up this antenna, there's a little knot there. My guess, I worked at a radio store, MTC Radio, down in Paris, Texas, but anyway, my guess is that that little knot about a third of the way up is probably a block, some kind of, they probably put something in there to keep 440 from going on past. So I'm guessing that it doesn't affect it on 440. On 2 meters, being a dual band antenna, I don't think there's any way it works well when you fold it over. I'm just going to leave it at that. It may work, it may put out a signal, which is, I guess, all they claim it does. I don't have any documentation on it. You can buy the thing for like $14. But yeah, I researched quite a bit of YouTube on it and other forums, and apparently they work real well whenever they're folded out, and that's all the information I've seen on them is while they're folded out. It claims it works folded up, and it may, in fact, as some people put it, work. It may put a signal out there, but I guess, you know, transmitting into a resistor will do that as well. But anyway, I got to run into the store here, so I'm going to let y'all carry on with the questions and comments, and I will chat with y'all next time. Thanks for all the info. KF5NRU in the group. Back to next drill.
Okay, well, thanks for joining us, Matt, and bringing your question. That's always good. And I wish you success in the store. So, 73 to KF5NRU. Okay, we're going to move back next to Jerry to see if, after all his comments, if he has any further thoughts on that matter anyhow, or anything else that he'd like to bring to the net this evening. K1JMN, KC1TWR.
Thank you, Tim. K1JMN here. I've been thinking on this as everyone has been contributing to this question. I'm wondering if, theoretically, could the energy once radiated out of the antenna start to cancel itself because it's in phase with itself, and it'll start to lose radiated energy? Just a thought. K1 German, back to net.
Well, thank you, Jerry. I hadn't thought about that, but that's a definite possibility. The other thing that I thought about was when he talked about going up about 13 inches, I think he said 13 inches, feeling a little knot there or something where there might be a separation for the 70 centimeter versus the 2 meter. So if that's the case and you fold it over, would that then give the 70 centimeter a radiator to bounce against, a reflector to bounce against, and actually increase its signal going out at least in one direction? I'm probably wrong, but it occurred to me that maybe that would be interesting. Let's move on to Kevin, see what he thinks about all this, and more importantly, if he has anything else he'd like to bring to the net this evening. KA6PDG, KC1TWR.
All right, good evening to the growing multitude. Well, what Matt said a couple of times pretty clearly was that notch that he's feeling was a third of the way, one third of the way up the antenna. So if it's a third of the way, that's almost 10 inches, 9 point something inches. If you fold 28.3 and a half, you're coming up with 14.1 and a half, something along that ilk. Very interesting to sort of Jerry's point. I think folded up, I would call it a scrambled egg antenna. I would think the pattern would be just a mess. But again, I think it's semantics in this case. The advertisement says it works, but $14, if he's having good results with it for $14, I tip my hat to him, because that's a pretty good buy if it's performing well. The other thing that I got thinking about was different antennas, like Bob touched on, get something good. Years ago, and I guess they still sell them, but I don't follow the catalog, so you guys can bring me up to date. But I used to like to buy those telescoping antennas for the top of the HT. And there were some that were dual band and some that were just for 440 and just for 2 meters. But the problem, the reason I stopped buying the big ones, because you could buy one that was a half wave on 2 meters, and I believe there was a 5/8 wave, I think, on 2 meters. But there definitely was a half wave. The problem with those was the connectors. They would always break. I'd buy one of these, and a week later it would break. You put it on your belt, your body, particularly a little bit of a gut, you know, sticks out there. So the thing wouldn't break. What I did find, however, was the ones that telescope that were quarter wave on 2 meters, and I can't remember, but I think they were also something on 440. I think it was a dual band antenna. But I liked those little quarter wave ones because they didn't seem to break, at least not as quickly. And out west, we have a lot of mountains, and the repeaters are up on the top of 5 or 8 or 10,000 foot mountains. So that higher angle of radiation is helpful, actually, if you're using repeaters. Unlike around here where we have hills. But I wonder if anybody else has played with those telescoping antennas for the HTs and either had good luck or bad luck. KA6PDG back to net.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. And I've never really played with telescoping antennas other than on regular AM/FM type radios and so forth, which I don't move around a lot. And I realize, as usual, I made a mistake in the pecking order, and I should have gone to Chuck W and FJW before I hit Kevin. So let's go to Chuck, see if he has any further thoughts about the folding antenna, any thoughts about Kevin's question about telescoping antennas, or anything else you'd like to bring to the net this evening. W1FJW, KC1TWR.
Well, one of the thoughts I heard was that when you fold the antenna over, some of the energy from one element would cancel with the other, and that is true for some directions, and it will add in other directions. So the, you get the scrambled eggs effect on the gain pattern. But that's an easy thing to deal with. If you don't get the station strong, you just rotate the thing a little bit and find the strong spot and then stay there, though that can be the hard part. Beyond that, I think we've pretty much identified everything here. Back to net, W1FJW.
Okay, thank you very much, Chuck. And now we'll jump over, Kevin, and go to Josh, K0JEB, with the same set of questions. K0JEB, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR is K0JB. What's the set of questions? I'm sitting here reading stuff on the computer, and I kind of was out in La La Land. Was there a new question for the group?
Okay, very briefly, any further thoughts about the loop antenna, other than the fact that once you fold it in half, as Kevin suggests, you can use as an egg beater for your breakfast. Number two, Kevin had asked if anybody had any experience with collapsing antennas, the expandable type collapsing ones for HTs. And last but not least, do you have anything else you'd like to bring to the net this evening?
All right, it's K0JB. Thanks, Tim. You could use it as an egg beater. Stick it in the end of a drill and make some breakfast. That's probably what Kevin was thinking about. He's always thinking of food. I somewhere kicking around my box of junk here, I do have a telescoping antenna that I can screw into a Baofeng radio. And when I initially tried using it, I did not notice, unless I had the measurement like pretty close to what the wavelength was supposed to be, I didn't notice much of a difference between that and the cheapo one that came with it. So, that well nut that was being referred to in the antenna, I believe, is a tuned inductor coil to help block the 440 signal and allow the rest of the antenna to be used for the 2 meters. I really don't have anything else to bring to the table tonight. As always, good conversation. It's K0JB.
Thank you, Josh. And now let's move on to Keith, KB1RBI. Same questions. Anything further on loop antenna? Any experience with the, telescoping antennas for HDs and what have you? Or anything else you'd like to bring to the net this evening?
KB1RBI. I haven't ever purchased a telescoping antenna. Never invested in one. I've always had a aftermarket rubber duck antenna or a 2 meter 440 high gain HT antenna. As far as it folding, that antenna folding in half, like I said, there's got to be some documentation online regarding the performance when it's folded. KB1RBI, back to net.
Okay, thank you, Keith. Okay, at this point, we'll do another quick call-up. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net, open to all amateur radio operators. If you would like to join the Tips Net, please come now with your call sign.
Here it is. Whiskey 1, Julie, Oscar Papa. John, City Grot, no traffic.
Okay, and that recognizes John, W1JOP. Any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, John, we've added you to the bottom of the list here. We'll get to you in about three people. Next, we're going to go to Bob, W1RPQ. Any further comments about the loop antenna? Anything concerning Kevin's question about telescoping antennas? Have you had one? What's been your experience? And anything else you'd like to bring to the table, please call now.
Now, this is W1RPQ. No further comments on the loop antenna. I think on the folding antenna, I think we've talked that one through. The telescoping antennas, they are unforgiving. They bend, and they don't come back. Once you kink them, you might as well throw it away. Two, they detune very easily if you don't have them set exactly where you want them. And it's never if you just fully extend it. You always have to fiddle around with them and find the best setting and then mark it with something. Really not worth the trouble. And again, they're heavier, so in the long run, they're just not worth it. So nothing about that. And don't really have anything much else other than if anybody has a field day log that they want to enter for club points this year at Tri-City, email me your log so that I can get it in there. We'll probably keep that open for another couple weeks. This is W1RPQ. Back to that.
Okay, thank you, Bob. And yes, I agree. Once a telescope antenna has been bent, the only thing that will happen if you try and straighten it is it will usually break. And after all this talk about telescoping antennas, I realized that at one of the auctions I picked up a 3-channel TRC-206 realistic citizen's band transceiver. Looks like one of those first telephones, self-powered telephones. And it does have a telescoping antenna that's about 40 inches long, and it has some kind of a gadget right in the middle of it when you expand it, which is probably some kind of coil. So anyhow, let's move on to Jeremy, KC1NBY. Any further comments for the net this evening?
KC1NBY. As everyone else said, I think we pretty much talked out the folding antenna and hit all the key points on the telescoping ones. That was, my biggest thing is once you bend it, that's pretty much it. And then the market these days for all the antennas that are so flexible and You can just unscrew it and throw it in your backpack or whatever you need to do. Don't think it's worth the hassle. Other than that, no additional comments, no questions. I hope everyone has a good evening. KC1NBY, back to net.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Jeremy. And next we'll go to, and I bet I did it again. Yes, I did. It must be something to do with the name Kevin. Anyhow, I jumped from Bob over Kevin, the other Kevin, Kevin X, to Jeremy. So let's backtrack to Kevin, KC1MVX. Anything further for the net this evening?
Yes, well, I assume you saved the best for last, except I'm not the last. That's okay. I do actually have some comments. 4K6PDG. So I have a Super Antenna MP1, the deluxe edition, which comes with the titanium whip and the telescoping. They're about the same length. And here's what I'll say, having the different antennas in my experience. Yep, you kink the telescoping, don't work no more. Or at least you change your reception pattern and transmit pattern. And it don't telescope no more, unless you want to sort of ting it back into shape. But the whip, at least once you go about beyond a foot, tends to slack to a side, so it changes the characteristics. For repeaters, this tends not to matter, but if you aren't going to have some sort of guideline, and it's more than a foot long, and you're trying to do more than hit a repeater, the telescoping has an advantage. And I will say that anything really with telescoping less than 4 feet, the wind isn't going to affect it. What's going to affect it is something hitting it. So if you're able, when you have a storm, when you think if something's going to happen, take it, you know, telescope it down. If you can do that, I think a telescoping is superior because once you get it's vertical or horizontal or whatever pattern you want. The whip, you either have to hold it with your hand or put a guideline on it, or hope it's, you know, or get one that's less than basically a foot long to get a truly vertical or a straight pattern, whatever you want. So I like the telescoping antenna. With my MP1 Super Antenna, I typically use a telescoping antenna because I can collapse it down when I'm done with it. The whip just flexes and it messes up my signal. Resetting the repeater for the next question. So for my going online and doing a bunch of research while we were moving through the group, basically I was half right, so it does lower your radiation field, so you get sort of less signal propagation in a direction. But I noticed that when it's talking about taking a vertical antenna and folding it in half, you have three different options. If you fold it directly in half, you get reduced power and reduced field. If you fold it in half in what's called a shunt, unishunt, or a shunt antenna, basically the feed point is longer than the part you folded, you get higher power and a lower radiation field, and if the point that you folded is lower than the feed point, you get lower power in a higher radiation field, and basically that comes down to impedance. If the feed point is longer, you have less overall impedance when you fold it. And if the other part that you actually fold, the top part, is longer, that's called a shunt. And that's when you have a higher impedance and you get less overall power. I think I said that right. I'm trying to go off the wiki page. Case in point, what everybody said, there's a lot of bit of smarter people out there on YouTube and on wiki. And at the end of the day, just experiment with it. There's plenty of us who can get on Simplex and talk to you as you move around, or we can move around. And I have a mobile unit in my truck. I can move around to help you if you want on the weekends. I'm free. Let me know, and I will help you learn how your antenna works. KC1NVX, back to net.
Okay, very good. Thank you for that explanation. And thank you for offering. I'm sure that's looked on very well. I got a little distracted here. I apologize. Okay, let's move on to John, W1JOP. I don't know how much you've heard about all of this, but we've been talking about a 23-inch long antenna on an HT, kind of flexible. It's supposed to bend over and Velcro in so that you can tuck it away into a backpack or what have you. And we were talking about telescoping antennas and people's experiences with them. So W1JOP, KC1TWR.
Okay, this is W1JOP. I have a Diamond SRJF-40A, which is a flexible antenna. And, you know, I've flexed it to the point where it rolls over on itself, and I've had no problems with it. So that's pretty good for that, if you're looking for a flexible antenna. Telescoping antennas, I've never been a fan of, for exactly the reasons why everybody else isn't a fan of it. I do like astronomical market HT antennas, particularly with the ICOM radios. The HT antennas that come with the HT, I think, is far too rigid and really could snap. So I usually like a little bit of flex in the HT antenna, but that's just me. Anyway, with that, I'll send it back to Ned. This is W1JOP.
Okay, thank you, John. That's good information. We reached the bottom of the list before we go into the second section. Are there any additional check-ins? Please call now. Okay, we'll now start the second section of Tips Net. Does anyone have any announcements about upcoming events or items of interest? I'll start off with two, and then we'll open it up to the group. The first one is this Thursday night, meaning tomorrow evening at 7:30 p.m., the Raison Amateur Radio Club will be having their monthly meeting on the Norwich 146.73 repeater. Secondly, I found out yesterday, or maybe it was the day before, that, you know, yesterday afternoon, that the Red Cross and Aries Nationwide SET that we had back in June, that the next one will be on Saturday, November 14th. That's the only information I have at this point. We do not have any other information. As soon as we do have that, I'll pass that on to local amateur radio operators in this area, along with the Aries groups. So, I will now open up any further announcements or items of interest that anybody would like to bring to the table. Please call now.
Here is KA6PDG with one. Yeah, I think they call it an announcement. the special attention Raison Club members, if you're a member of Raison, the club nominating committee is moving toward tendering a slate of officers for the next year, and that announcement will be made at the August Raison Club meeting. That's a proposed slate of officers. If in the meantime you'd like to have a conversation with the nominating committee, or make a suggestion, please speak with either Chip Griffin, N1MIE, Tim Rogers, KC1TWR, or myself, Kevin Harkins, KA6PDG. End of announcement, KA6PDG, back to Net.
Thank you, Kevin. Anyone have questions about any of the announcements or any further announcements before we go to Section 3? Please call now.
KC1
KC1MVX, please proceed with your question.
Question is for K6PDG, what officer positions are going to become open in the August vote?
Kevin, you can address that directly to KC1MVX.
Sure. The nominating committee in August will present a proposed slate which shall include president, vice president, secretary, and treasurer. And then, you know, the membership can do what they will with that. They may say, we like the slate, let's go for it. They may say, and that'll be in September that the election takes place. Or they may say, let's put some other names on the floor. Does that help you, Kevin?
KC1MVX, that does help me. I will speak with you off the net more later. KC1MVX, back to you, K6PDG.
K6PDG, back to net, and I'm going to ask to be excused so I can set up a conference call here.
Okay, very good. Thank you for participating in the net, as always, Kevin. K6PDG, we'll put you 73. And we'll move on to the third section of the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net. Is there anyone that wishes to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur, you know, it just thought to me, should be, well, I guess sell and swap and barter are the same thing. Is there anyone that wishes to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items? If so, please call now.
KC1MVX, looking to buy.
K0JB with two items for sale.
Okay, we'll go ahead and take it in order. Kevin, KC1MVX, please proceed.
Thank you, Tim. KC1MVX, looking for a DMR handheld and or also a something to link up to WinLink for a Yaesu FT65, either an Arduino or a Raspberry Pi, anything like that. KC1MVX, back to net.
Which radio were you trying to set up to? I'm sorry.
Looking for any sort of DMR handheld, or and also I want to do WinLink on handheld, and I'm looking for an Arduino, a Raspberry Pi, if anybody already has one made, for either an FT65 or FT60 Yaesu.
The nameplate is missing. I did check it out though. It is a 2 meter amplifier with the same power connector. Operates off 13.6 volts. I did not check the power output on the 2 meter amplifier. I did check the output on the 440. and that one was operational. I'm looking to get rid of both of them for $40. If anyone's interested, my email is good on QRZ, ski0jb.net.
Okay, anyone have any questions for Josh on the two items that he has listed?
KF5NRU with a question.
KC1MVX with a question.
Okay, welcome back, Matt. KF5NRU, please proceed.
What is the drive power on that? What do you, is it 20 watts, 50 watts, 5 watts? What do you drive it with?
Josh, you can go ahead and call direct to KF5NRU, and when you're done with that, you can call direct to KC1MVX if you would.
I didn't write down the call signs, KN5, NU, I believe. They're powered, set for 5 watts, so you could use them with an HT. And, although it's not recommended, the 440, I did try it on the, with a DMR handheld, and it was able to handle the DMR, but it's not designed for that, so it be for both of them are for analog radios because they have manual switching relays in there. So hopefully that answers all your questions. And KC1MVX, what was your question?
KFINRU, was your question answered? This is KC1MVX.
It was, thank you. KF5NRU, back on the site.
Roger, K0JEB, my question was, what were the connector types? I know you said them, but I didn't write them down because I didn't realize I was curious. Now I'm curious. Please state again the connector types. KC1MVX, back over to K0JEB.
KC1MVX, K0JB. The connectors for the RF input and output on both of them are PL259. And the power connector, I don't even know what to call it. They are labeled on there, two positive, two negative, and the blades coming out are not in the same direction. I'm not sure what style connector you would call that. I do know it's the same as the one that the amplifier at the Raycon Shack has for that power connector, so I'm sorry I can't be any more helpful with that. It's K0JB. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. I'm interested. I'm going to send you a message, and I'll give it back to you to give back to net control.
Alright. Question asked and answered. This is K0JB back to net.
Okay, thank you, Josh and Kevin and Matt. Okay, any further items for either swap, sale, or looking for, or any other questions for either Kevin or Josh, please call now. Okay, very good. I think we're ready to go into the closing of the net, but first I want to do one last call out for any check-ins, any comments, or any crosstalk before we close the net. Please call now. Okay.
call, and as we have no further check-ins, I'm going to go ahead and close the net at this time. I'd like to thank all that participated in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net, and thanks to all who stood by and listened as we conducted the net. Also thanks to W1AN for letting us use the W1DX repeater, and NA1CN Echolink for Echolink, KA6PDG for recording on the AM1700.org/tipsnet website, where you can find a recording of all these tips nets. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net and had their meeting last night because it was the second Tuesday of the month. They did have a Zoom meeting last night, and they'll probably do that again next month. If you keep an eye open on the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club .net website, that's TRICITYARC.net, you'll see details about each upcoming meeting, probably posted about a few days to a week beforehand. This net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo, wishing everyone good evening and 73.
Kilo Charlie 1 TWR K1JMN.